Brad Whelan. Can you please state your full name and AUC number for the record?
Yes, Brandy Lee Farnberg, and my AUC number is 225-842.
Thank you. Your brief review of the board of executives, please see your reference to your community supervision rotation this afternoon. Let me introduce the board members of the conductor hearing today. We have Mr. Louis Canales, who is our acting board chair at this time. We have the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Mill, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and we also represent the Florida's today.
Okay.
By the way, you received a notification for advising you of this hearing. Do you remember that form?
The paper that I signed?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, on that form, you're notifying your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I did not hire an attorney. It's just me.
Okay. We have a couple of supporters for you in the room today. What do we have here? We have a friend and your husband. So they both say they will probably make a statement. So I'm going to swear all four of you, that will include your two supporters, you and Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections. So I'm going to swear all four of you right now. If you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so how do you act? Do you still affirm?
I do.
Mayor?
Oh, yes, I do.
I'm sorry. All right. Mayor, I wasn't sure when we got covered up because we have so many people.
It's quite hard to hear you.
Okay, well, I'll speak up. If you have some good, let me know.
Okay.
Because we want you to be able to understand everything that's going on.
Yes.
Okay, and we've been having difficulties with our audio and visual, and unfortunately with the speaker phone, sometimes you get echoes and everything, and it's a little hard. So don't hesitate to tell me if you don't understand something.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay. We appreciate that. Okay, you're going to be having two phases this afternoon. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Okay.
In phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the four allegations that are on your warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. If you think it's false, we'll get some information from Mr. Westby and then discuss it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Allegation number one is violation of order and condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on about February 5th, 2018, from the task lab report dated February 6th, 2018. Is that true or false?
That's true.
All right. Thank you. Allegation number two is violation of order and condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on about February 13, 2018, from the task lab report dating February 14, 2018. Is that one true or false, one?
That one is true, sir.
Okay. Allegation number three is violation of order and condition of supervision number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to attend substance abuse counseling on about February 13, 2018, as directed. That true or false?
That one is. It kind of, so I was directed to the treatment, and I went to the Banner Behavioral Health Center, and then I actually left from there because I didn't feel it was helpful, and my husband is the one who actually talked me back into going back and seeking my help again. I went to the V-Bray, it's false, I'm sorry, it's false.
It is false?
Yes.
Okay. You'll have an opportunity to explain it more completely.
Okay,
that's right. All right, and allegation number 4 is violation of the condition of supervision number 3 as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence from Maricopa County on about March 15, 2018, about prior approval of your signed parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were absconded from supervision. Is that one true or false, Dan?
That's true.
Okay, so you said allegation number 3 was false, so at this time I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us more information about the allegation. So,
okay.
Mr. Westby.
Yes.
On February 13th, 2018, Fenner and PM Newsom discussed the missed UA and positive UA for THC. The offender was directed to start moderate treatment through LifeWell. The offender was directed to bring paperwork with her on February 23rd, 2018. On February 23rd, 2018, the offender reported as directed. She did not have intake paperwork for moderate treatment program. The offender stated that she had an appointment on Monday to start the program. The offender was directed to call on Monday to confirm appointment. She never obtained counseling services as directed with LifeWell.
Okay, thank you, sir. Ma'am, what are your thoughts about that?
Okay, so when I went to see my parole officer, the reason I didn't have the paperwork was because I went into Community Bridges that morning, and they told me that the intake was going to take approximately 2.5 hours. So when I told them that I had to go see my parole officer, I then went to see my PO, and I explained it to him, and I discussed it with him. He called down and spoke with Laura that was there, and she confirmed that she had told me to come in on Monday. So the LifeWell thing, it was just a discussion. We were discussing LifeWell. I was trying to get a hold of the people there so that I could go in and do an intake. They told me that I needed to be referred and that I had to go through this other process before they could accept me into there. So it wasn't that I was just not seeking the treatment. It was everything was set in place and ready to go, but I needed that referral to be able to go there. And that's why when I showed up there that day to see them, I didn't have the referral.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, now we're going to move forward so we can go into phase two. So, based on the admissions of Ms. Farnberg for allegation 1, 2, and 4, and the information got from the Department of Corrections for allegation number 3, I'm going to move to find that Ms. Farnberg was delinquent as she violated term of condition of her supervision or that she may have lapsed or not lapsed in the current ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself, Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Cardenas, and agreed by Mr. Donaldson. Okay, now we're going to move into phase two of your hearing in a moment, but before we do that, we're going to get some background information from Mr. Westby. So please stay on the phone, and I'll be back with you in a couple minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right. Mr. Westby.
On April 21st, 2017, Ms. Farnberg was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested on March 27th, 2018 by United States Marshals. There were no charges. She was back in DOC custody on March 28th, 2018 with an adjusted CCD of July 4th, 2018, 14 abscond days. Current conviction, 2012 marijuana violation, 1 year. 2012, that means of transportation, 6.5 years. She has a prior conviction in 2008, theft means of transportation, 3.5 years. Also in 2008, theft, 1 year. This is her second term in the Department of Corrections. CUIR score 2-3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. STGA information notes, she is associated with Westside Homies Phoenix Criminal Street Gang. She has a prior term of supervision, 2010, TIS release completion, 9 months. Disciplinary violations are moderate. The arrests that she have on record, have charges were dismissed. Her community risk score is a G5B4.
Thank you, sir. Okay, now we're going to go over a summary of the case supervision. Gotta find the right page here. So for your residents, you were released and approved to reside with your sponsor, Sharon Torres. And then on January 24, 2018, you were requested for approved to change your residence to, the sponsor, Laura Hernandez. And then on March 12, 2018, you were accepted and approved for the VJ program located in 71 1366 Driver, Arizona. And then on March 13, 2018, you left the property without prior officer approval. So what happened with the meeting legally?
Okay, so Okay, so the whole Beaver situation was a shock to me, first of all. I didn't leave, well, when I first arrived there, the woman told me that it was okay for me to have drugs as long as I didn't share them with anybody. That kind of threw me off, but I mean, I was, you know, mandated to stay there. When I did leave, it wasn't for selfish reasons. It wasn't because, oh, I wanted to run the streets and get high or anything. My UA was cleaned. I went in there sober. But that night, I got a call that my husband had been admitted to the hospital and he was going to undergo a partial amputation. I'm not somebody who really puts myself first or puts my needs ahead of anybody. So when I left, it was to go be with him there at the hospital. And I did speak with my parole officer while I was there. And, you know, he advised me to go back to Vibri. And when I contacted the woman, so I spoke with Ryan, who was the supervisor, or he runs it, or something, the manager. He told me that if I contacted the woman, Samantha, I believe her name was, that she would send somebody to come get me. Well, when I contacted her, she said, you found your way out, you can find your way back. And, you know, I just chose to stay with my husband instead. I felt he needed me more than I guess I needed myself.
Okay. Well, I felt 14 days of storm days. Did you contact, or what you had out of the problem with your attempt to get back to Vibri? Did you contact your PO and explain all that?
I did, and I spoke with Andre Rodriguez as well, and he asked me to come into his office on March 22nd, and while I was on my way to the office, you know, again, not putting myself first, my friend called me, you know, crying and telling me how all Camp Verde had turned against her and she had court Monday and she just wanted me to be there with her. So, once again, I made a bad decision and, you know, quickly saw the error of my way. She left me on a street where I knew nobody and freezing. And the following day, so the day I was arrested, actually, I spoke with the marshals twice. I never once tried to hide my identity. I never once tried to, you know, run from them or evade any kind of arrest. They put me and my husband up in a hotel because, you know, we were just left in a town that we had no knowledge of. And they came back and then told me that the warrant had come up. And I walked down the stairs. Very calmly, and went with the officer, and he brought me to Yalta and then let me in.
Okay. So what's we'll be in, and then so you work for Being Viral?
I did. I worked for Being Viral.
And Street.
And they actually agreed. I spoke with her, you know, prior to my arrest, and she said once I got everything figured out, to just give them a call, and they put me right back on the schedule for work. So I'm just kind of sitting and waiting to know my fate.
And it says that on 3/26, CCO Newsom contacted me while I was on the streets on late night, and both places said that you don't want to work.
No, that's correct. So when I was working with Dean Vela, my car broke down. And, you know, so she told me, when you get your car, if it's stopped and situated and everything, give us a call. So when all this started taking place, I told her, I said, well, you know, I'm getting my car situated, but I'm probably going back to prison for, you know, up to 90 days. And she said, that's fine. You always have a place here with us. We can always put you on the schedule. I also am the employment program here, and I've been talking with the EII. It's a permanent makeup technician school / career center, and they're willing to accept me in there. Like, I have multiple jobs opportunities lined up for me.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, well, I'm looking at something here.
Also, I have been in contact with TLC, the Half a Life 90-Day Program.
Right.
I've already written them, applied, they've accepted me. I have the acceptance letter here in front of me from Carol Chambers. So I have a place to go if, you know, my reinstatement is possible.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Any questions?
Mr. Johnson.
So, Ms. Farnberg, you elaborated on
why you were an absconder, but what was the deal when you relapsed and started smoking the marijuana?
I am medically present by board, and I'm supposed to be on medication. And, you know, with my job and everything that I have going on, I was living at home with my mom, taking care of my daughter, working all day. I just never had time to go get my prescription refilled and speak with, you know, another therapist or psych or anything like that. So when I was out there and those two times that I, you know, got dirty, I did express it to Mike Newsom about, you know, how it helps to, like, quiet my demons, and it helps to, you know, make me focus and just relieve my stress. And, you know, he told me that if I was going to be smoking marijuana, it was best I go get my marijuana card. And I couldn't go get my marijuana card because I didn't have time to do all that. And him and I, when we were talking about sending me a treatment, initially when I went to Banner Behavioral Health, it was to get back on my medication. And then just, you know, like I said, I left, and then I wasn't able to obtain the referral. And I focused a lot more on other people than I did myself. That was my big issue. I was focused on trying to help all these people, and really I couldn't even help myself. And so smoking weed was what helped me to just calm those demons. But I am back on my medication now. I've been back on my meds for about a month. So all of that is stabilized and all that.
So how is it that you're able to get the marijuana, but you wasn't able to get your medication?
Because I was around people who had marijuana, and I didn't have to go to get a prescription for it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you said you were trying to remove your marijuana card?
No, I didn't. I don't even know the first thing about going to obtaining a medical marijuana card. I don't know who I need to see, what steps I need to take. I don't know any of that.
Okay. Well, at this point, I would have thought that because of what was going on, we would have looked into that as a way to confirm to what the PO said.
Yeah, well, if you notice, the base of those two violations were a week apart.
Right.
So after that, following that, there were no more dirty UAs, there were no more THC violations.
I'm just looking around to... I don't see where from all of your drops, but I'm going to take your word for it. I mean, we're no more
high. Yeah, we're not
high. We're little thousands that we're seeing, but I don't know your drop record, so I don't know. I'll take your word for it on that, but I don't think I have any more questions at this time. Okay, we're going to leave your hearing, ma'am, and before the board goes to discussion to make a determination, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think before we give you a final statement, I'd ask your supporters to come up. I almost forgot. Does anyone even like to come up first?
Sorry, fighting over is going first. My name is Eugene Morris, and I know we're pressed on time, but I'm going to give you a little background about me. I've been with DLC a few times myself. You know, I've also in January celebrated 10 years clean. I'm a little diagnosed, and I could never stay clean because I couldn't take care of my mental health until I was able to. You know, I was finally able to get clean and stay clean for a length of time. Brandy's my best friend. One of the brightest girls I've ever met. And I also work for Community Bridges. I've worked for Community Bridges for the last 8 years. So throughout this whole situation with her violations, we were in contact, and I was trying to get her connected to services, and she was jumping through hoops. And I'd love to say that it's really easy to get connected to services, but it's not. And I know that because I'm in the field. I mean, we can drive right out the streets. We can see what mental health does to, you know, to society, because my office is at CAS, right? So, Brandy made a lot of bad choices. You know, I was guilty of that for years myself. But she has some support. people doing the right thing today. Her biggest mistake was going home to her mother's house, right? Which affected her mental health to a point where there was no coming back. But, I mean, even getting back on medications takes 10 to 15 days for them to kick in, and then you really don't know if the medications are going to work until 15 days later. I think if Ms. Farmer was able to get regulated on some medications and was able to get some treatment, I think she could flourish, you know, in society. Nobody thought I could. Thanks.
I have a question, sir.
Sorry.
So what were you in the hospital for?
That was her husband.
Oh, okay, all right.
I'm her best friend.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Right. Okay.
Do you have any questions? No, thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jesse Amaya, and I'm her husband. And the day that you were asking about, I was going through surgery, and they had to cut my finger off because of an infection. At first, we didn't know how bad it was going to be, so I was kind of freaking out because they were like, we don't know how much we're going to have to cut until we actually open it. So I was a little dramatic, and she felt it, and she came to be there with me, and that's why I'm here for her, because, you know, I mean, we have to stand behind each other. I mean, and she has a lot of support right now, and I did talk to her employer with Bing, and they are waiting for her when she gets out, and I mean, she has a big family that are supporting her, and if you could give her another shot, she has a job, I mean, she has a new car, wherever she needs to go, she'll go. Like I said, we're going to help her financially, whatever needs to be done. And we're here for her. And I just like you guys to know that if you guys give her a shot, you won't regret it, because she's going to win this time. And she has it in her. I've seen her do good before. And I know she's going to do it. She's going to make it. We have a beautiful daughter that misses her. And we just want her back home, you know, and she's not alone. And you know, I'd like to take some responsibility for the day that she left, because I wasn't strong enough to tell her to go back. You know, and like I said, she's accepted her responsibility as well. She made a bad choice, but she's headed towards a better path. And I just ask you guys, both the panel, I apologize, that if you guys could just give her another shot and reunite a family. And thank you for your time.
Okay. Any questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Farmer, now it's time. Sorry about that. I almost forgot about your support. The board will be having a discussion in a couple of minutes, so it's your opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything you think might be appropriate for our decision. We're just going to ask that you don't repeat yourself with information that we've already been given. Okay.
All right. Well, I just read a written, but I've kind of been, you know, telling you guys everything and I'm really anyways. My time here has not been spent either. That's one thing I don't do when I come to prison. I don't sit in here and just, you know, do nothing and roll cigarettes or anything like that. I have been in the employment program here. I have been taking advantage of every class that is offered to me. I'm going to NA meetings. I'm going to church services. I'm going through all these things. My biggest thing is, you know, as I said before, focusing on myself. But right now, that is all I'm doing. My eyes were kind of open that last night when I was stuck up in Camp 30. And, you know, my friend just left me there, this person who I've got to support. And now it's about me and my daughter. And, you know, I've always put my daughter first, but really it's me that I need to put first. I finally understand what everybody's saying when they tell me, you can't take care of anybody if you can't take care of yourself. And so that's all I've been focused on. I could go home, I could go to a million places, but I'm choosing instead to go to a halfway house that's a 90-day program if I'm released. I want to focus on myself. I want to focus on making me better so that I can be a better mom, so that I can be a better wife and a better friend and, you know, all these things. And that's, you know, everything else I've said to you. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The board will be going into discussion now, and we'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a determination, but stay on the phone.
We ask that you remain silent during the discussion, and when we're done, we'll get back to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
I'll be there.
The board is now in discussion. This is, actually, it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's also sad, but the biggest problem I see is that, you know, she's made a lot of bad decisions, even the situation with her husband. I commend her for helping, you know, going to help him. But I think if she would have followed the PO's instructions afterwards, I mean, she could have stayed with him and taken care of him, and the PO probably would have gone on and been told all these ones to, you know, being resolved, but she would have complied with the other things she was supposed to do. And the problem with drug abuse and even mental health issues like bipolar, she's the only one to make the decision to take care of. Doesn't make any difference how much support she has. She has to be ready to make the decisions herself and do it. But on that same line, she sounds like she figured it out. Being stranded in Camp Verde, it's not as bad a place, but it's a long way from Phoenix. You know, if you're stranded, it can get scary. And she has, you know, women family support and a friend that works within the system of the help for people in her position. There's only 48 days left on her sentence. A week and a half, 2 weeks to probably take it up with paperwork. I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence about whether we turn it or not. I'd like to listen to discussion from my fellow board members. Mr. Canelli.
Thank you. I hear what you're saying, and I do want to say from the position of my own, we all have our own codes, I guess, from my own humanity, that with that admin time that we need now, just doing the paperwork and the 40 days that are left, she can take advantage of that time to get stabilized on the meds that she's on. I'm very sympathetic to the plight of, you know, bipolar disorder. And even if in this day and age that medical marijuana is to her advantage, she could look into making a legal transition to that. That is some sort of option for her that's going to help her manage her anxiety when she comes out. But certainly she would have not that much time left in the Department of Corrections, and she could put together a plan for her safe transition back to the community, because we certainly want to see her succeed, and she seems like she has the potential of succeeding without question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I certainly do understand and sympathize with the issue with the husband and going to the hospital and being there with him. However, she even talked to the PO. The PO had just told her to come on in or go back to the halfway house, but she got caught up with another friend and went instead of doing what the PO wanted her to do, and she went somewhere else. That was not as understandable. She did test positive for marijuana, which I do understand what she was saying. She had some issues and was unable to get her medication. However, she is in custody now. I think she do fully understand that she needs to focus on herself at this point in time. She's stabilized on her medication while she's incarcerated. She says she's taking all the programming that she can take for drug rehab or NA or AA that she's actually going to. I think this is an excellent time for her just to stay and take this time she has left and get focused on herself, so when she gets out, she's not going through the pressure of what other people are saying, and she's focused on herself, and then she can get out and be a good wife, a good friend, get with her daughter. She'll be more stabilized and more focused. At the same time, she should start working on when she is released on July 4th, when she is released, that she actually start making plans to make sure that she has the medications when she gets released to work with the CO3, to make sure everything's in place so that when she gets out, she's not going without her medication. So I think it would be best for Ms. Farnberg to remain incarcerated until she's released.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, based on all the information, the warrant number 2018W0875, Ms. Feinberg's testimony, the information we have from her supporters, and all the information from Department of Corrections, I am the move to revoke the committee supervision of Ms. Feinberg at this time. As she was aware of violating terms and conditions of supervision and had lapse or not lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by Ms. Feinberg, second by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Mr. Feinberg. Okay, Ms. Feinberg, the board voted to revoke your community supervision at this time, but according to the information we have, you will be released on Independence Day. You get your independence on July 4th, 2018, which is about 48 days from now. And administratively, a good portion of that would be gone, taken up with paperwork if we had returned to community supervision. But it sounds like with the program you're taking in there, but you continue on that, get a good foundation, make sure it is really planted in your mind that you have to make sure you're taking care of yourself so that you can take care of your dog, can take care of your husband, can take care of your friends. And one of the things I can speak from personal experience, bipolar is one of those issues where you are definitely the one that makes the decisions. When you start feeling good on your medication, don't say, oh, I don't need this anymore. It's not my need, it's one of my relatives. I've been through this for years, and it sounds like you have you're on the mild side of the bipolar, so I don't know. If you're off your meds, you make a lot of bad decisions, but you don't go around trying to kill people or anything else like that. You know, it's not that bad. But when you make the wrong decisions, you do drugs, you do things, you do a lot of things you're not supposed to. The medical marijuana may be a good solution for you, so, you know, I'm not sure what kind of success rate they have on it. I do know that a lot of people benefit from it. But if you get your meds stabilized while you're finishing up your term, then as soon as you get out, you can find out when or how to put in for a medical marijuana card and go through the process so that you can do a legal transition and find out if it really does serve the purpose. I do believe that you've made that decision, but it is, if you put together a brilliant plan going down to 4th of July, hopefully you will be very successful when you get out. We don't have to see you, it's not going to like you, but we want to see you succeed, and if you're back in here, you haven't succeeded, okay?
Okay, thank you for asking. Thank you, Gina and Jackie. How are you?
All right. This will continue here, and we'll put the sales rate out in 14.